psychopath, but has that sort of changed?
Well, it's true. I mean, no sooner is the word psychopath out than people think of serial killers and rapists and terrorists and suicide bombers. But actually, the word psychopath is really a bit of a media misnomer. If we're talking in strictly psychological terms, when you mention a psychopath, what that means is it means a distinct cluster of personality traits which include ruthlessness, fearlessness, charm, charisma, focus, and a lack of conscience. Now, if you put all those traits together in one person and you're naturally violent, notice I didn't include violence within those traits.
And we're back for another episode of
Matt's Not Here.
He's here.
He's like right next to us.
Yeah, for sure.
We got a little bit of an interesting episode this week.
We do. It's definitely going to be an interesting
episode. It's a little
crazy. Yeah. It's a little crazy.
a little crazy.
it's some might even say it, this whole episode is just psychopathic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Real fucking knee slapper right there.
I try. Yeah, this week's episode, we're discussing, I guess, the idea of or people that we know who are psychopaths.
Versus sociopaths
versus everyone else in normal society. So let's pop this off with just let me give you guys the full-blown dictionary definition real quick.
Go for it.
Psychopath. A noun, a person suffering from a chronic mental disorder with abnormal or violent social behavior. Though it has been, you know, in recent days thought of to not be always be connected to violence. Violence is a very common occurrence with this. And that's what we're going to get into and discuss today.
So that's the definition of psychopath. How does that differ from sociopath?
Well, a sociopath and a psychopath are quite different because a psychopath is more along the lines of someone who lacks empathy for others and is more out for self versus a sociopath is they're very similar. You can't have.
There's a very thin line.
It's a very
sure.
thin line. Yeah, I think. From what I've heard, you can't have psychopathy without sociopathy. Mm.
I did research. There was one major difference between the two, though, it seems like. And that major difference is leading a normal life. A lot of psychopaths, you know, you could be a CEO, be a psychopath, and live a normal life and be super successful. Whereas a sociopath, with the tendencies and stuff that they have, it's harder for them to lead a normal life.
Yes. Psychopaths can manage their... I guess social behavior better than sociopaths can.
Yeah, it says right here that psychopaths tend to be more manipulative, can be seen by others as more charming, lead a semblance of normal life, and minimize risk in criminal activities, whereas sociopaths tend to be more erratic, rage-prone, and unable to lead as much of a normal life.
Yeah. When we first brought this idea up about this episode, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm super down for this.
I knew you'd be down.
Mainly because the gentleman we heard at the beginning of this wrote a book called The Wisdom of Psychopaths. Dr. Kevin Dutton wrote a book called The Wisdom of Psychopaths, and I've listened to this book for a ton of times, and it explores the idea behind it explores the idea that, you know, psychopaths aren't always serial killers and violent murderers and rapists.
And I think that's the misconception.
And that's
in
the misconception.
Society.
That's what we opened it up with.
Right.
The difference between the psychopaths that we know of who are, you know, the killers and all that are violent decisions. You have people who are CEOs of Fortune 500 companies who are on the psychopath scale. When you look at the definition or how to label someone as a psychopath. It's a spectrum. It's not black and white. It's several different shades of gray. It's almost similar to autism. There's a whole spectrum of it.
Right.
And you have, you know, your Fortune 500 CEO company runners, right? Where in order to get to that position, they had to be ruthless, cunning, charming, and out for self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not care about stepping on people to get to where they want to go. Their goal is their own self-preservation and their own advances in their own career. And that's a very similar connection that you have to psychopaths who are locked behind bars for murder and for rape. Why did they murder that person? Because it was either them or me. Why did they rape that person? Because they wanted it. It's they're out for self. That's it. Nothing else. They don't care who they hurt or how they hurt them. And that's the fascinating thing to me, is you can have these two people who have the exact same mindset, but the only difference is whether or not they can commit an act of violence.
So what you're saying is psychopaths more or less lack of impulse control.
No.
Psychopaths, it's the other way around.
Psychopaths. So yeah. Psychopaths can have impulse control.
Okay.
That's why they're at, you know, the head of the company.
That's why they're not always committing these violent acts, because they can have that control, that restraint. No,
psychopaths, I highly suggest anyone who's listening to this podcast, I'll never until this episode tell someone to pause this podcast and go listen to something, but pause this and go check out The Wisdom of Psychopaths on Audible.
We'll post a link.
It's fascinating. It argues the fact that we have psychopaths among us everywhere. Every day, mm-hmm. all day, everywhere. You've probably walked past one.
And not even know it.
And, you know, the guy who's driving around in a Maserati and owns a company, there's a good chance he's on the psychopath spectrum.
It could be the nice little old lady you go buy cookies from every week at the corner bakery, and she could be a psychopath.
She owns that business and runs it and operates it, and she's the number one cookie salesman lady on that corner because she shit on and fucked with every other cookie salesperson. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But she's sweet and nice to you because you're not her competition. The moment you become her competition, you become the enemy, she no longer has empathy or care for you. That's what makes a psychopath a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, and the manipulation thing, I think, is such a big thing, because they're able to manipulate things and people around them to kind of either not just get what they want, but to lead a normal life in a way, if you get what I mean. Whereas a sociopath isn't as manipulative because they're a little more volatile and not as... They can't slip through.
Yeah, and it's not always a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. Another part that is argued in this book is that there's times when being a psychopath is okay. The difference between a psychopathic killer, the horrible people, and a psychopath that we've met in every day, is they can turn that on and off. Mm-hmm. There's another clip I actually want to play for a minute, so I'm gonna talk about what this is while he pulls this up. The psychopath who can turn it on for work. Who can turn it on for work versus the psychopath who can't turn it on or off at all. It's on at all times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to court, right, and you've got your lawyer fighting for you, and let's say someone's charging you with attempted murder, right? And you've got your accuser in court, and they're trying to say that you murdered this person, or you tried to murder them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your lawyer needs to question them. Your lawyer needs to put them to the test and make them relive that moment. Now, a normal person would have empathy and not want that person to feel that pain again. Most top lawyers cannot have that. They can't afford to do that, or they wouldn't have their job. Most top lawyers are somewhere on the psychopath scale, because they're going to walk that person through that night, make them relive every brutal, gruesome moment to find a crack in their story, to find out if they're telling the truth or not, to protect their client. Because their main goal is themselves and, you know, who's with them, in this case, their client. Another one that I find fascinating is surgeons. And this is where this clip comes in. So we'll play this and I'll talk about this in a minute.
Great.
All right.
Go ahead and pull up.
Here we go. Thanks, Jaime.
Yeah, I interviewed a neurosurgeon who's basically been performing surgery for over 20 years. He's he takes on operations which tend to be slightly risky,
tend to push the envelope a little bit of surgery. And he actually said to me that surgery was a blood sport. He got off on the thrill of the challenge. Now, when anyone, you know, says that to you as a neurosurgeon or basically any kind of surgeon, you know, you might think to yourself, well, I really wouldn't want him operating on me. But actually, when you think about it, those kind of psychopathic characteristics that I was mentioning about are precisely the kinds of traits that you would want to find in a surgeon. That focus, that coolness under pressure. If things go wrong in an operating theatre, you don't want someone to start freaking out and panicking. You want someone to absolutely focus on the job in hand and not get phased out. And also that kind of dispassionate distance that psychopaths have, that kind of cold empathy that they display. Also very important in surgery. Surgeons have to do some pretty nasty things to people in order to make them better. And, it, you know, there's evidence to show that if you have too much empathy, you know, you're obviously not going to be able to function in that capacity as well as you might.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that fascinates me, is because you want your surgeon to keep a cool head in this situation. If yeah. things go wrong, they need to be in control of every one of their emotions. And that's something that a psychopath can do, is they are in control of every single one of their emotions. Because in some cases, you know, they there's something in the psychopath, in either the way their brain operates, the way they're born, where they don't quite understand how to emote with certain social situations, so they'll emulate other people. Not saying that brain surgeons do, but in that situation where a brain surgeon is operating on you, you want them to be in control of every single aspect of it.
Yeah, there's psychopathic traits there. Regardless if they're a full-blown psychopath, there's those traits that allow them to have control of every emotion and every aspect, right?
Yep.
So it's funny that gets brought up, because I feel like there's also people that fall into these fields based off of full-blown psychopathy.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I remember I was at the dentist, and the dental hygienist was sitting there cleaning my gums, right? And it's mm-hmm. bleeding, and she's sitting there telling me how she loves blood and loves mm-hmm. to make things bleed Ooh. And stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not going to make you bleed a lot. She's like, but I love it, and I love seeing it and yeah. working with it. And I'm like,
oh. Yep.
Yep.
This yeah. And it's a good chance that she was a psychopath.
And it's kind of like cops. You yeah. know, a lot of cops yeah. with the power struggle, some of them yes. will fall into that position to get yeah. control. And
One of the things that they talk about in this book as well is he interviews a lot of bomb technicians.
Oh, shit.
Because when you go into that situation, you make one mistake and it's the last mistake you've ever made, you know?
That's true.
So you have to be able to go into the situation fully accepting the fact that you're going to walk out of it. Because if you don't walk in fully confident, 100% sure of yourself, then you're fucking done. So you walk into the situation, and that's a common trait in psychopaths, is extreme confidence. They walk into the room and they own the room. They know for a fact they're better than every single person in this room. They know that for a fact they're smarter than every single person in this room. They're stronger. They're quicker, because they have that confidence, because they don't give a fuck about anyone in this room but themselves. And that's not a bad, I'm not saying that in a bad way. That's not a bad thing, because that's the confidence that
there's a tipping point.
There's a tipping point.
Because you got to put yourself right. first at the bottom of the line.
Yeah.
You're all you got at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But how far are you going to push
exactly.
that is the question.
And that's the part that, you know, we touched on at the beginning of the episode with the intro is the difference between the psychopath who's the bomb diffuser and the psychopath who's sitting behind bars for murder is their tendency to allow violence to slip through. To allow violence to take over. If you can keep control of that violence and you can direct it somewhere, you know, the only place that you'll make a killing is in the market, in the stock market. A lot of people who are millionaires in the stock market are because they have psychopathic tendencies where they can see these massive swings and it doesn't affect them emotionally, because there's something – they did brain scans on a handful of psychopaths, and their amygdala – where you have the part of your brain that fires when it comes to empathy and picking up on other people's emotions, was dulled. So they can watch somebody get punched in the face, right? Like, you would normally watch somebody get punched in the face, and we've all seen it. We've all seen like a movie where we see someone wreck or someone where we see someone wreck or someone fall, and we all go, ooh, because we can kind of feel that pain. Psychopaths will watch that and go, that guy fell.
Huh.
You know? Because they don't feel that pain. They don't feel that... They don't have that empathy to relate to that.
Well, that's interesting.
So am I a psychopath because I don't laugh at comedies when I watch them on TV because I'm usually watching stuff by myself, so I don't laugh by myself. But then when I'm around people, I stop laughing now because I'm so used to not laughing. And inside, I find it funny, but on the outside, I'm just sitting there like a dead fish. You're like,
fuck, I'm not laughing, and people think I'm weird. Yeah.
So am I a psychopath because when I watch horror movies, I don't fucking trip out over it? Doesn't bother
you
me.
You might have some psychopathic tendencies. Well, and that's the thing. That's where it comes back to the
like
spectrum.
I don't squirm
thing.
At all. I that's just watch thing. It. I'm like, cool.
That's where it comes back to the psychopathy being on a spectrum. It's not black and white. Yeah. It's shades of gray.
Okay.
Well, we're each somewhere on that spectrum. Everybody's somewhere on that spectrum. You're either really far down where you have more empathy than most and you're not psychopathic and you can feel for other people, or you're higher up on that scale and you're like, fuck everyone below me. I'm out for self. I'm going to make this money. I'm gonna fucking succeed in my career. I'm going to become the top dog at this company. And if I got to step on someone and shit on people to do it, I'll fucking do that.
Well, and you brought up the bomb defusal thing.
Yeah.
Which made me think of something. Okay, so there's two scenarios. For example, parachuting.
Yeah.
Bomb defusal, you have one chance to get it right.
Yep.
Parachuting.
You
have one chance to get it right.
Technically two, but yeah.
I mean,
you have a backup chute.
You got a backup. Hopefully you pack that backup right.
But I'm saying, even if you do the backup chute and you're not skydiving properly, or you're in a weird position or something, you're fucked either way. But I remember, who was it?
Don't open your parachute upside down.
Well, shit, that makes me wonder, because I really want to go skydiving.
Go skydiving.
So do I. And that's
go skydiving with a psychopath.
That's why I was bringing this point up. I'm like, well, does that mean I'm a psychopath or borderline because of the whole, you know, I want to do a lot of things. You only have the chance to get right once. And it's funny because we had a teacher in high school. I don't know if you remember. He was a government teacher.
I may not have had that class.
Gibbons.
I was not in the...
he's the guy that wore the same tracksuits every day.
Clever classes.
And he wore them for like 30, 40 years, the same clothes, because he would play movies of him teaching the class and he would play it to our class when he didn't feel like teaching, and he was wearing the same shit from like 20 years ago.
That's hilarious.
But anyways, he had said that, I forget, it was somebody in his family or somebody who knew who was a paratrooper, and this person, they're up on the C-130 getting ready to jump out of this plane, right? And I don't know if it was the sergeant or the officer in charge or whoever's in charge of those dives, whatever their rank is, either way, you know, he's telling everybody, all right, it's getting ready to jump or whatever. You got to get ready here. And he told him, he's like, why do I have to practice something? I only have the chance to get right once. Why do I have to practice this? You know? Huh. And then he was like, holy shit, that's a good point. You don't have to jump today. And I'm like, damn. Shit. So like,
holy damn. Shit.
But it just made me think, like, you know, in that kind of a scenario, there are, it seems like, psychopathic tendencies.
They're helpful. Like... Yeah, and I can't help but go back to the sergeant explanation where he mentions, you know, you have to be able to inflict this massive amount of pain on somebody and not, you know, not feel bad because you know it's going to fix them.
Yep. So we are coming up on our break right now.
Break time.
So we've got something special for you guys after our break.
Tell you what.
We took a little test.
I was going to say, like, we'll come back from the break. I was going to try to spin it like we're going to take the test on the break, but we already took the test. Fuck it. I'm faking it. I'm faking it. You know what? We're going to take this test on our break, and we'll come back and give you guys our answers.
I want to give a shout out to our biggest sponsor, Zombie Killer Clothing.
You can find them at Instagram at Zombie Killer Clothing,
on Facebook
Confessions of a Zombie Killer,
and what was I going
to
say?
I don't know.
Don't forget to check out their merch.
Check out their merch.
Amazing shirts of different ways to kill a zombie.
Pretty much.
I'm a huge fan of the Romero one.
Which one?
The Romero one. Am I being retarded and saying his name wrong? I am being retarded and saying
Romero.
His name. Oh, okay. No, okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
He's got the cool Richard Ramirez one.
He does have the Ramirez one. I need to get me one of those. I have the classic one with the logo and the logo with the blood, but I need myself a fucking one with a zombie on it.
My favorite is still the fucking camo tank top.
I can't. I'm so glad it's summer and I can rock the camo tank top now.
I know. Sick. Is it still on the website? Is it even on there? Okay, because I didn't see it last time I was on there.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm just saying that, but I'm like 90% sure it is.
And if you guys can afford it, get those fucking
shoes. Get those fucking shoes.
Those fucking shoes are fucking badass.
I have worn black shoes forever. But I want those camo shoes just to go with the camo tank top, and then I would rock those around summer.
Oh, there's so many outfits I could pair that up with. So many outfits.
Dude.
I just want to look nice, you guys.
I know. I just want to look good. And we can do that with Zombie Killer clothing.
And also, don't forget to check out the event.
Oh, Live in the Scream.
Yes.
Happening in...
It's October, isn't it?
It is in October.
Wow. You're the one who fucking keeps plugging it.
I know. Look, all right. I'm tired. October 23rd.
Okay, great.
Like 90% sure that date is right. Matt, can you please make sure I'm not retarded? We have several different freak show performers.
Yeah, so it's October 23rd Los Angeles from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m.
We will be at Loft 14, 19, 20, 49. At a loft?
I don't know.
More details to follow, but just make sure you guys check out Zombie Killer Clothing on Instagram. All the details are there.
Yeah, check out Living the underscore Scream on Instagram. That is the event page. You can find the link to the tickets in the bio. It's an Eventbrite link.
We will tag them occasionally on our Instagram.
Sure.
As well as...
Closer
we get to the event, we're going to do that. And then if you're following me, and I hate to plug myself on this podcast, but if you are following me at Red Island Magic underscore, I'm posting about it at least once a week right now.
Yeah.
And then it'll ramp up. I'm trying not to post too early. I hate to promote a show months before, but I am, because I'm not going to lie. I'm super excited for the show. I have something really special planned.
Fuck it. Hype it up.
I have something really, really special planned for this show that I've actually the fact that this year's show is themed around Asylum is amazing, because my main show is based around an asylum, and I've amped up and added to my show to make it special for this event. This is the one time a year I do this show. I only do this show around October. I only do it once or twice a year, and that's it. It's the only time you can ever see the seance that I do, and this year it's at Living the Scream.
Yeah. So, and you know what? I'd like to do a future episode on an asylum as well.
I've got three I can talk about right now.
Sweet. Save it for later.
I will.
All right. Let's jump back into the episode.
With that being said, let's get back to talking about people that might be members of these asylums.
Here we go.
Talk about a nice little segue.
Segue. Nice. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Segue champ.
Segue, bro.
So now you get to find out if any of the faces behind these microphones
are psychopaths.
Yes.
Or
so we all sociopaths. Sociopaths. So we all took the same test.
We'll leave it in the description. Yeah, we'll leave it there for you guys.
And those of you who are members of the cult, please feel free to take the test and leave your results in the cult. Are you guys down with putting our results in the cult, or do you want to keep them? I mean, we're about to talk about them publicly. So do y'all want to like drop our screenshots in the cult?
That's fine.
All right. So. As you're listening to this, if you go to the Cult of MNH right now, and if you're not a member, you can become a member by typing in and answering the questions. The first question it asks you, it's a very simple answer. It's going to ask you what the MNH stands for, and if you're listening to this podcast, you should fucking know. I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
And the second question, there is no right or wrong answer. No.
Remember, this is on Facebook, so if you guys haven't figured that out yet, it's a Facebook group.
Cult of MNH, and you can see the screenshots that we're about to talk about.
Yeah,
and a link to the quiz. So, yeah, go ahead and take it and then share your screenshots with us. Let's find out how many psychopaths we have in the cult.
Ooh.
Everybody.
Fuck, dude, everyone's going to be like high on
everyone's
the fucking...
a psychopath on there.
Everyone's going to be like, you're not allowed to be part of the cult if you don't score high.
We'll go in a counterclockwise circle. So we'll start with Lewis.
Oh, great.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay, so...
I figured we'd build up the anticipation here.
According to the results... The scores, by the way, range from 1 being low to 5 being high. After taking the test, I scored, drum roll please.
Well, you have two numbers.
You have a primary and a secondary.
Okay.
So what's your primary?
So for my primary, I got a 2.3. So that means that based on my primary psychopathy is the affective aspects of psychopathy. So a
psychopathy,
lack,
by the way.
Psychopathy, I'm sorry. A lack of empathy for other people and tolerance for antisocial orientations.
So you do have some empathy and you're okay with some social situations.
Right. So my score from the secondary is... I feel like we could have just queued up a fucking drum roll.
Nah, but this is so us, though. This is so us.
Has been calculated as 3.4.
Oh.
Secondary psychopathy is the antisocial aspects of psychopathy, rule-breaking and lack of effort towards socially rewarded behavior. Yeah, so I guess that's good, right?
So look at the bottom. Does it tell you what percentages you are, above average or below average? Or
so according to my primary... your score for primary psychopathy was higher than 57.99% of people who have taken this test.
You're higher than half. Yeah. More than half. Nice.
Your score for secondary psychopathy was higher than 83.97% of people who have taken this test.
I think I know why you and I get along so well.
Yeah.
So does that mean I'm slightly psycho?
Just a little bit.
Wow.
But the thing is, because it makes sense. Because you were so low on the primary one.
Right.
That's why you've got the social aspects,
right?
You're able to talk to more people. You're able to socialize.
I'm a social creature.
Yes.
Yeah. Before I say mine, I would like to say that for once in my life, I feel normal.
Really? Oh, that's saying a lot.
Should we have started? Should we have started with you, or are you saying normal because you fit in?
No, I feel like
we're going to leave the best for last.
I didn't expect him to be a psychopath.
Right. So what we're saying is we should have started with you and then gone to you, Matt Lewis, and then ended with me.
That's our point exactly. Is you will never. Oftentimes you'll never know.
You don't know.
You're sitting right next to a psychopath.
All right. So Matt.
All right. So for my primary score, I have a grand number of 1.6.
That's good though. Why are we giving him a hard time? You're not a fucking psychopath.
Well, I have a lot of empathy, so there's
we can see.
That's
why.
Yeah. And then the secondary, drum roll, please. Thank you. Is a whopping score of 2.1.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Alright. Yeah. And then the last percentage.
So for primary, I was 25.79%. higher than other people who have taken this test.
So you're in the 25 percentile range.
And then...
The lower 25 percentile range. Is that what that means?
It's almost 26.
Okay.
And then the secondary is going to be 29.26.
He jumped the gun on our general.
Motherfucker.
Fucking piece of shit.
So...
All right. So you're not a psychopath.
No, but there are some traits that are above average. But other than that, yeah. Which makes me think the average seems pretty fucking low.
Dude. Ugh.
So there's a lot of people that scored like close to perfect on this.
What's perfect?
Perfect meaning not psychopath.
Okay.
Is there such a thing?
And we're obviously all functional members of society. Therefore, we're not sociopaths. All
right. Well, before I read my results, if you guys don't want to do this anymore, I can totally understand.
on this week's episode of Matt's Not Here, we interview a psychopath.
Your guys' answers or results... made me realize that,
yeah. Okay, here we go. So,
hide your wife, hide your kids.
Your score from a primary psycho, this is again on the range between one being low, five being high.
Okay.
Has been calculated to be as a 3.8 on the primary on psychopathy is effective aspects of psychopathy.
That's 1.2 away from a perfect five.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lack of empathy for others and people who tolerate antisocial ordinance. Can I explain this one?
No.
Let's listen to the psychopath try to manipulate the audience.
No. All right. Look.
Right.
Look. I don't care about people I don't know.
That's fair.
I want to get into the trolley experiment after we talk about this.
Yeah.
Because they do mention this, and the trolley experiment is a good explanation for
designed by psychopaths for psychopaths.
So we'll get into that in a minute. All right. Now, damn. My score for the secondary psychopathy has been calculated as a 3.4 on the secondary psychopathy for the antisocial aspects.
It's still kind of high.
We got the same one.
Yeah, we got. Hey! So you and I scored identically on the secondary.
It makes sense.
So we both scored higher than 83.97% of the people who take the test. For the primary psychopathy test, I scored higher than 88.25% of the people who took the test.
Oh, shit.
I'm in the, like, top percent.
So we're working with a psycho here.
I'm almost number one, son. What? Fucking win. Bring it.
What happens when you get a perfect score on there? Do they just immediately call the authorities and have you committed?
Like, you score 100 and then... Sir, please come to the door.
We're doing a welfare check. We got to put you on a 72-hour hold.
You get
the men in white coats.
But yeah.
Okay, so you said you wanted to explain. What did you want to explain?
When it comes to the caring for others is where it gets a lot of that from. Like,
okay,
I can openly say without remorse that I don't care about other people if I don't know them.
Okay,
and this leads me to the next thing I want to talk about. Like for you guys, right? Your safety. Like if I'm with you guys, I'm concerned about your safety. If I can help keep you safe, I will. Again, if I'm with you guys and I see someone else get hit by a car, well, fuck, that sucks for that guy. I'm going to go on about my day, and it's not going to ruin my day.
So if he gets dementia, then nobody matters.
Huh.
I mean, you're not wrong. But then again, like if I'm not with you guys, right, and right. I hear, like, in let's say I hear one of you getting a wreck, I'm going to feel like shit. It's going to suck. It's going to hurt. It's going to feel bad.
Right.
But it's not going to ruin my day. Mm. Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, yeah, that's fucking shitty. And I'm very sorry and I'm going to be there for you. But I'm not going to, like, go cry in a corner because my friend got into a car wreck. Like, I got shit to take care of. I got shit to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. And that's more of a utilitarian aspect. I know people who it's like, my friend got into a car wreck and my day is fucked. And I'm like, well, your friend got into a wreck, not you. Why is your day fucked? You know, like, take your ass to work, handle your business, go pay your bills.
Life goes on.
Exactly. But if I'm with a friend when that happens, I'm fucking there to help. Like, that sucks. My day is now with you and with helping you. But if I'm with a friend and someone I don't know gets into a wreck, well, that sucks for that fucking dude. Let's go get some beers.
Right?
You know what I mean? Like,
so he's like Nelson from The Simpsons. It's driving down the street. Ha ha! That guy just totaled his car.
No,
and
that's where my lack of empathy is, and I'm fully aware of that. And that's the thing with a lot of psychopaths that I've studied is they're fully aware of where they're. Lack of empathy lies.
Well, that's where the manipulation comes in, because that having too. That knowledge, uh-huh. you're able to manipulate exactly. things because you know.
Exactly.
It's like me being a Scorpio. I know Scorpios can be manipulative and secretive.
Exactly.
And I realize that, so I'm able to not act on that, exactly. but I can if
now
I
you're
want.
Getting into astrology, though.
Right. But we're talking regardless. Real science here, so.
wow.
So
oh, shit.
What brings me to the next part is the trolley experiment, right? The trolley experiment is a good explanation of this. So I'm going to pose the question to you guys, right? Yep. Have you guys heard the trolley experiment before?
I have not, actually.
All right, Matt, have you heard the trolley experiment?
I've heard of it.
Okay, so I'm going to pose the question to you first, Lewis.
Go on.
I'll let you think about it, and then we'll go with Matt. So let's say that you're stood on some tracks, and you can see a trolley coming down the road, okay. or down the tracks. And the trolley is, without a doubt, going to run over 5 people.
Okay.
But you have the power to pull a lever, and this lever is going to change... This lever's gonna hit a fork in the road, and it's gonna send the trolley off in another direction and save those 5 people.
Okay.
But it's gonna run over 1 person.
Huh.
Are you gonna pull that lever? And Matt, the same question to you. Are you gonna pull that lever?
I'm gonna run over and interview those people and get my feel for them and figure out which ones.
You don't have that kind of time.
I said yes.
So you're gonna kill that 1 person to save the 5?
Sacrifice 1 to save 4?
Right. Matt?
Yeah, most likely, yeah.
Okay. Now let's change this to a little more, because that was an indirect action. You're stood on a bridge. That same trolley is going down. Those same 5 people are tied up. But there is an extremely large man stood in front of you. This okay. man's large enough to stop the train. But you have to physically push him off of the bridge yourself. Now are you going to do it?
I'm going to try.
I'd have to.
You can succeed in doing this. It's not, there's little effort to do so. He's stood on the other side of the railing, right? It's You can push him off yourself, but your hands make contact with his body, and you push him. You are the result of him falling down.
Oof.
This is where that trolley experiment gets different.
I can't do that.
This is where the trolley experiment changes. Because you pull the lever, you're indirectly related to the action. You can disassociate with that. But
I'll just scream move over and over again as I'm pushing him off. But and obviously he doesn't have time to move, but then I'll feel better about myself because I gave him a chance.
Right.
Right. But see when people, I've got no problem doing it. I'll shove that fat motherfucker with no problem.
Jeez.
If it results in saving those people.
Also, how big is this motherfucker?
Big enough to stop a fucking trolley.
It's a huge
bitch. He's probably got about a month left on his fat ass life anyway. But
so you're trying to rationalize it now, see?
See, again, and this is where the this is where the psychopathy studies come into play.
Right.
Because people who have scored high on these tests have no problem pushing this fat motherfucker over if it results in the saving of five people, and then they rationalize it in the exact same way I just did. Mm. And this is where I realized that, yeah, I know for a fact, I know I have psychopathic tendencies and I can manage them. I'm not a very violent person, so I'm not going to be your next fucking Dahmer, right? Or your next fucking John Wayne Gacy. Thanks for fucking really believing that as I said that, Lewis. I saw that look on your face. You might be number one. If it results in those five people being saved, fuck yeah, fuck that fat motherfucker. He's probably going to die in a month anyway because his heart's going to stop because it's too much work for his fucking body. I didn't mean that to sound
I hear it and it makes sense, but it still doesn't seem right to me. So
but pulling the lever results in the same action.
Well, pulling the lever,
it's the exact same action. The only difference is your hands don't make contact with the person's body.
Oh shit.
So you're okay with pulling the lever that results in someone's death,
right?
But you're not okay with shoving them to their death.
Think about it this way. Look at guns. Guns, you know, fire bullets when you pull the trigger, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not the gun that kills somebody. It's the person that took the action to kill somebody. Yep. So look at that lever. What if that lever was a gun?
Okay.
And you're going to kill that one person, but that one person, say, is going to fall in front of the trolley and somehow stop it.
Okay.
But now you're physically having to push that person over the railing instead of using a tool to do it. There's no difference to me.
There's no disconnection.
Holy shit. Does that mean I'm a psychopath?
It just means that you rank somewhere on the spectrum. Everyone does. Like we were saying earlier, it's either beginning of the spectrum or near the end of the spectrum. And you know,
because it sounds more or less like my only real replies there would have been just let them all die.
Right, you're either going to let five
step
people
in and sacrifice one but you're, save four.
Yeah, you're going to have to live with something regardless.
So either your non-action results in five people dying or your action results in one person dying but five people get to live.
Five or four?
Four or five, doesn't matter, more than one.
Okay.
You got to look at the military and these people that get conditioned to kill other people in the Middle East and whatnot, you know, what's going on in war now.
When they go over, they're trained to...
It's a split-second decision. You don't have time. It's like pulling that lever. Like, you don't have time. You just got to do what you got
to
do.
And they're trained to disassociate from it in the moment. In that moment, you look at, you know, snipers and like you're saying, people in the military. When they take action, watch how they say what they did. They will never say, I killed somebody until afterwards. In that moment, when they're giving the report, they'll say, I took action and eliminated the threat.
For example, think about, say you breach a house in the Middle East, you're it's war.
Right.
You breach a house, and there's a woman in there and a man, and this man is part of the Taliban or something, or the Islamic State, and he's got an AK-47, and he's firing it at you. He's standing behind his wife, and she is kind of guarding him with her body, going, don't shoot him, stop, you know, like, he's my husband, blah blah blah, and the only way you're going to be able to save yourself, your troops, and other people in that village is by shooting her to kill him. In that split second decision,
looks like they go out together.
Well, for me, it'll all come down to self-preservation.
Yeah.
And that's psychopathic tendency.
I would fucking, I'd be like, look, he's trying to fucking take me out, I'm gonna take him out.
I mean, I don't.
If it means I have to shoot through you,
and then you'd explain it,
you know.
But I'm saying it's that split second decision. Yeah. Like, look, I have to kill this person who's not a threat to, be able to save other people, save myself, and eliminate that threat.
And that is a psychopathic tendency. Is a self-preservation thing, And that's, you know, not a bad thing. That's why, you know, we have elite SEAL troops, elite sniper troops, elite military troops, because we have those mindsets. That's why we have top surgeons, where they're not in the moment worried about, is this going to hurt the patient? All they know is these next steps are going to save the patient.
Yeah, they leave all that empathy, all that's that emotion, why, all that attachment yeah. aside.
That's
yeah,
why
I,
we...
I've
that's
seen
why
a
we,
lot of surgery videos.
Yeah.
I watch them on my free time. And, don't
and,
ask.
And that's, again, that's another tendency.
And some of these videos I see, they just go at it. They just and start hacking and away. And I'm and like, they're holy shit.
Calm and
I
could, confident.
Yeah. I could never do that. It'd be like operation.
Oh, I couldn't do
my
it.
My hands are too shaky for that.
I can't watch those, man. I can't watch those.
They do it with precision and with just...
And again, and that goes, you know, that goes to that. That's what the same thing with the lawyers. That's why you have these lawyers who can get, you know, O.J. Simpson off on technicality.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Glove don't fit, man.
Yeah. Must have quit.
Exactly. On a random side note.
Fuck yeah, I love random side notes.
Random side note. You're talking about him, you know, getting off on his charges. Did you hear about those, what is it, 170-something... freaking motorcycle club members that got off on like those murders, that shooting that happened, and
yeah, you know, that was all like Facebook fake, right?
There was actual thing that happened. A lot of the people don't talk. It just shows you nobody, I thought it was interesting.
If nobody talks, then, you know, nobody goes down. But you know, that whole thing was like, that wasn't even 170 people.
No, it wasn't that picture.
That was like 100 and
something like that,
48 or some shit.
But the thing is going viral. But that shooting really did happen, and a lot of those people got off,
and nobody went down because, you know, fucking shut the fuck up.
On another unrelated side note, how do you guys feel about that whole situation? By the way, the whole O.J. Simpson trial and the lawyers that represented him ended up dying. Was that karma?
I don't know. One of the lawyers is alive, though, I think.
Well, the main ones, Cochran and Kardashian, they're both dead.
One of them, though, I know, but one of them...
And they both died of cancer, if I'm mistaken.
Karma's a bitch.
If that's the case, then karma's a real bitch.
Shit, there was one of them that got somebody else off on something recently, like some rapper or something, or presented, I don't remember, somebody who worked on the OJ case or something. They're all tied in. It's all money.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't care, but...
I just found that fascinating.
Right on.
I'm like, how is it that...
We could do a whole episode on people who did something that died in the result of that.
I'd like to do a whole episode on the O.J. Simpson trial. That'd be funny. Well, not funny, but interesting.
Funny?
O.J.'s hilarious.
How do you think about Random Homeboy that was there that got killed?
It was hilarious.
But yeah.
Oop, nobody caught that. Good.
No.
All right, let's move on.
And on that note, I just wanted to bring up some like tendencies of psychopaths, even though I think we might have touched on them a little bit. I just want to reiterate them because...
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying this for everyone to be like, oh, look out for your local psychopath. But it's just things that you can notice in psychopaths. Some of the characteristics are characterized by people that, with features such as a superficial charm, a high intelligence, poor judgment, and failure to learn from experiences. So those guys who can charm their way into anything, you know, get punched in the face for being a douchebag and then go back and do it the next week because they didn't learn, probably a psychopath. Although he's probably low intelligence if he's going to be a douchebag and not learn from that result. A lot of psychopaths have high intelligence and are very clever, smart people who, you know, like I said, like a lot of them are Fortune 500 owners and company runners. And Gazoon tight. And
I've been fighting it off for like a good 60 seconds already.
But I just fucked it up, didn't I?
I think I lost it before you said that. Eyes are watering now.
And yeah, you know, people who make a shit ton in the stock market because they can throw in $1 million and not worry about it. Whereas I throw in $100 in the stock market and I'm like, oh God.
Dude, I throw in $20 and I'm shitting bricks. You know, like.
I buy a $5 scratcher and I'm like, man, like I usually stick to the $3 ones. This is, I'm sweating.
Splurged, man.
Yeah, it's insane.
You ever won anything off scratcher?
Yeah.
So funny scratcher story.
I think the most I won was like another ticket.
Dude, funny scratcher story, right? I was just getting ready to leave Florida, or I had just got back from California to Florida. There's a gas station on the way from the local airport there, right? My mom stops and she's like, hey, you want me to get you a scratcher? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So she walks in, she gets me one, scratch it off, and it's like, oh, hey, won a free ticket. It's like, all right, cool. She goes and gets her free ticket, comes back, scratch it off. Oh, hey, I won a free ticket and like $5. So she's like, oh, cool. We go in, we get another free ticket, and I was like, buy another ticket with $5 because it was like the $2 scratchers. So she gets another $2 ticket, comes back, we scratch those two off, won another like $10 and another free ticket on the other one, right? Because we bought two. We ended up winning in total about $15, $20 and like 8 free tickets. It was fucking stupid, dude. It was fucking stupid. Every time we won cash, we were like, fuck it, let's go buy one more. And on that one more, we'd win a free ticket. And on that free ticket, we'd win some cash. And so we were like, fuck it, let's just keep this going until we lost. We ended up walking away from there, winning about 8 free tickets and about $20 cash. And the teller just kept laughing because she'd go in, sit in the car, and then walk right back in. And then come back and sit in the car, and then walk right back in.
I did that. I used to sit at the liquor store and just sit there at the table scratching and going, oh, here's a ticket. Oh, $3. Yeah. Oh, and just keep parlaying and winning.
Yeah.
Just to keep me playing. And then you walk out with your tail between your legs when you lose the final time.
After you fucking lose ass, yeah.
But I went, like a month ago, I bought a bunch. I bought like 9 or 10 of them. No, I bought like 9 of them and I won on like 5 or 6 of them.
Nice.
And I bought them in a group too. I told this girl next to me, I was like, I swear to God, if I win on this other one, I'll give you freaking half of this because she always shows up there and we just scratch shit together.
Right.
I hit $10 or whatever, $20, and I was like, here, like I'm a man of my word. Here you go. And nice. I went and bought more and I won again. And I'm like, I should drive to the casino tonight.
You know what? I think I'm gonna go get one of those tonight. I haven't done that in a while.
So, aside from the psychopaths that we do know, the serial killers, of course, anybody can do research on serial killers if you want. Go ahead. I know there's a movie.
Oh yeah,
that perfectly represents.
There's a few.
Oh, there are a few, but there is one in particular that perfectly represents what a psychopath is like.
Yes.
Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
Oh, my favorite movie of all time.
Go ahead.
It is the definition of American excess, and it has to do with the stock market, what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And people who
have fancy don't give business a cards.
Fuck about everything. Yeah. Oh my God. that's subtle off-white. Oh my God, it's embossed. And it also, it has a watermark. Oh, fuck. Tasteful eggshell white. Raised lettering.
I knew he was a psychopath. Listen to this guy.
I fucking love that scene. I modeled my first business card after that fucking scene. For those of you who don't haven't picked up on what we're talking about, American Psycho.
Yes. Yep. Such a great fucking movie.
Yep. I bought that. I think we were all together. We went to that fucking cheap ass DVD store and I saw it for sale. I was like, bought that bitch. Yeah. I think I'm gonna watch that tonight. That is honestly, I don't want to say a perfect, but a very, very, very extremely accurate representation of what's going on in a psychopath's mind. The character of Patrick Bateman, how he doesn't give a fuck about anyone else. That whole business card scene right there is perfect. How, spoiler alert, if you haven't fucking seen a 20-year-old movie, a 21-year-old movie.
If you haven't seen it, this is our movie recommendation.
This is our recommendation of the week.
Yeah, you know, fuck it.
Because he loses his shit because someone's business card, somebody likes somebody else's business card more than his. Mm-hmm. And that's the, you know, that's a fucking right there as a total psychopath move because holy shit, I need to be better than everyone else. This one person doesn't fucking like me because of my business card shit. And, you know, it's perfect. You know, the way he wakes up in the morning, he's got that regimented routine, mm-hmm. wakes up, does his workout, does his face peel, you know, has porn on in the background while he's fucking setting the places up to call or trying to make reservations to that night for that dinner. And then they go and they do minimal effort at their job, right?
Yeah.
Understatement.
And then make millions of dollars doing that. You know, talk shit on their secretaries, and then they all go out, and they all hate each other. They're all trying to one-up each other, but they're all friends, and they all go do cocaine in the bathroom, and then fucking, you know, go and fucking, you know, party at the fucking nightclub, and then, yeah, no, that's, that. and then he actually, spoiler alert, loses his fucking mind, and drops a chainsaw on a hooker.
And at that point, he became a sociopath.
Yeah. No, he was still a psychopath.
Dexter's another good one.
Yeah, Dexter's an amazing
coming
one.
Coming out with a new season, but it's
Dexter's
like...
Dexter's an amazing one because he hides... He plays the chameleon.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not just that, but he's rationalizing killing other killers.
I agree with him, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, it's, you know,
it's easy to agree with him.
It's like, I'm sure all of us here can agree that, you know, rapists and pedophiles probably deserve to, you know, to we die. Could put them on a firing line and shoot them. We'd have, all of us would probably have no problem pulling that trigger.
Can I not use a gun?
See,
what
there
the
you
fuck
go.
Would you use? A crossbow?
No, a knife. No, I can savor it.
A knife?
Oh, I can savor the moment.
Okay.
I can do right. something at a distance without getting messy and just enjoy the slow.
I'm going to be up in his face and watch it.
Okay.
Treat him like one of those cartel videos.
Savor the moment.
Where they like chop your leg off fuck. And then beat you to death with your leg.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, I wouldn't do that, but yeah. I'd try to peel his face off. Ed Gein style.
I was just or about to say, slow down, Ed Gein.
They had
just
the one where they had the dog bite off his junk while he was tied down.
Oh.
Nice. How do you train a dog to do that in the first place?
I think they put something on it.
Hungry dogs will eat.
I think they put like
cover it in
meat or
dog
something.
Dog chow.
Probably. Yeah.
Cow blood. A little bit of peanut butter.
Something enticing for the dog.
A little peanut butter and cow blood.
You know.
But the cool thing with Dexter is he sits there and he talks to himself.
Oh, yeah.
About everything, and you can hear him rationalize everything with himself.
Oh,
he leads this normal life.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And the Dark Passenger
reference
and all that. It's very
how excited are you,
typical
by the way?
Psychopath.
Oh my God, can we talk about this for a minute?
I can't wait to see him kill trees. He's going to murder the shit out of some trees. I know it.
You think he's going to...
If you guys haven't seen Dexter, spoiler alert.
You think he's going to have a little bit of sap in the fucking slides?
He's going to keep a leaf in there?
No, dude, it's got to be sap. It's got to be sap. Oh, can't be a leaf. Keeping a leaf would be like keeping a fucking fingernail.
It's true. What if he cuts rings out and says this tree was this years old?
Yeah, but then it'd be like keeping a thigh piece. He kept blood, so it's got to be... sap. There's no way it can't be if he's killing trees. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, true,
if we're
true.
Sticking with his pattern, right? And he's got a very predictable pattern, much like any psychopath
not
does.
Sap.
He keeps trophies.
Chlorophyll. That's the blood for plants, right?
I don't fucking know.
Well, that's for
you're
plants, but we're talking about trees, right?
Yeah.
Trees are plant.
Trees are a plant, you fucking idiot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of stupid sometimes. I blanked out there for a second. My bad.
A tree. No, a tree is a tree.
A tree is a tree, and a plant is a plant. Fuck you guys.
Are they both green and brown? Grow out of the fucking ground?
Fuck you guys. I blanked on that for a second. My bad.
Yeah, it's all good.
Let's carry on.
Look, none of us, you know, none
come
of
on,
us,
I pronounce a word wrong every episode. So
none of
mean,
us took geology
Condi.
In this class.
Condi. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, origins.
So glad you guys missed my shitty joke.
I heard it. Geology.
No, you didn't.
Wait, what?
He missed it. Don't worry about it. Anyway,
anyways,
you know I'm just gonna go back and listen
yeah, you
to
can
it.
Listen to it no, when we put
it's
it
fine,
air,
it's
when
fine,
put it
fine.
On air,
and then I'm gonna sock you in
new
the
episode,
face.
That's fine. Go for it, you fucking loser.
And I'll give you some candy.
Some conda.
I won't sock you in the face.
Look, the origins of this.
I won't
is
give
just
you
amazing.
Candy.
The origins of this.
Okay, I'm gonna
amazing.
Sock you in the face.
Can we get back to talking about Dexter?
Yes. Yes.
So,
we can.
Spoiler alert, in case you guys haven't seen it, we've all seen the whole fucking show.
It has a shitty ending.
That ending.
I fucking hate
fucking
that
terrible.
Ending. Oh my God,
I hated
dude.
It. I hated it.
It's like, really? Like, if they would have cut it after he rode off into that storm, it's like, oh, fucking beautiful.
What
beautiful.
Happened? Did he die?
Beautiful.
Did...
beautiful. Leave the question. Never, never answer the question that you're going to make your show ask your audience. Or make your audience ask your show. If you're ending something and it makes your audience ask your show a question, never fucking answer that question. Because whatever answer your audience can come up with is a million times better than your shitty fucking writers can come up with. Even if your writers are amazing.
There's times where they'll have a good ending, but there was no way to end that good with having a closing
the closing
ties
the loop.
Off.
No. He should have rode off into that storm, fade to black, credits. But showing
it just made no sense compared to the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Where was there any sort of kind of foreshadowing that he would ever do something like that? And I'm not talking about like, you know,
I don't know.
When
I
shit
think
hits
that's
the fan
we...
and you bail off. But like there was, why did he choose to go there? Why did,
yeah.
you know, why did he choose that job? Why
I, yeah.
doesn't make sense for
I,
him?
I think the, that was like I think maybe some producer meddling and them going, look, we need to maybe leave it open for a maybe we can do a season again. But
I think that they decided to do a season again because everybody was so
pissed off
and pissed about how it ended.
And you know, having him go to the fucking become a fucking lumberjack was so shitty. They should have stopped in that storm, rolled credits. That would have been a beautiful ending, and nobody would have bitched. Nobody. But they were like, oh yeah, he made it through that storm, and now he's a lumberjack.
Like, even for like, example,
what?
Even for example, what? If they ended it of him going off into the storm, and the new season started off with him, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I was on some sort of island, you know, and
Castaway, fucking murderer edition.
He well, was not even dreaming. Castaway, he was in, he's been in a coma this whole time.
He could right? have been in another freaking country.
Anything.
Yeah.
So predictions.
Well, because like, what's her name left with Harrison, right?
Right. Yeah.
And went to another country.
Went fucked off to what? Argentina or Costa Rica or some
something
shit.
Something like that.
Puerto Rico.
I don't.
Whatever.
Remember.
Some
it's
tropical.
Been a long time.
Some tropical place. Did you guys know that wasn't actually filmed in fucking Florida? That shit was filmed in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Oh well, the I know like the shipping container crate was filmed at the terminal and all that. Yeah.
Like I because I watched it. Like, I grew up, you know, in Florida, and I'm watching. I'm like, fucking wow, they actually filmed this in Miami. And then I saw some shit, and they were like, wow, they filmed this in Long Beach. Fuck, they did a really good job making Long Beach look like Miami.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Except for the port scene when they're at the port.
Yeah,
because you could tell like
it's kind of.
It's not Florida. It's not LA.
No, but okay. So
it's Long Beach
predictions.
Terminal Island.
Predictions for this final season.
He turns into a vegetarian, not because he loves animals, but because he hates plants and he just murders trees.
Okay. Okay. Lewis?
Okay, but how do you rationalize killing trees? What did that tree do to him?
Yeah, because he rationalizes his kills. Because, you know, the
maybe
ice...
Maybe it was lifting up his deck or something.
The ice truck killer was killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Do you like people with allergies die? And he's like, I got to avenge these allergic people.
I guess.
this
paper gave me a paper cut.
Like he sneezes. Like he sneezes and gets really pissed off because he like fucked up his dinner.
He's maybe. Like really pissed because one time a bird landed in a tree and shit on him when he was under it.
Whoa, like, that would be the bird
then.
The
bird,
he'd have to go after
yeah,
the bird.
He'd be killing birds. He'd become a hunter.
See, like mine made sense.
Yeah.
That. You know, sheet of paper gave him a paper cut.
I honestly think he's going to, like, make his way back to Miami and try to get his old life back, but they're going to be like... Because they were onto him.
Right.
I think he's going to, like...
I think he's going to miss his son, and he's going to want to go to wherever and try to
find...
And
she's going to be back in Miami. Maybe she's, like...
I don't know, though.
Because she was hiding, too.
Yeah, so
she
I think she's going to be in another country, and I feel like he's going to go to that country and try to find her and get into his old life. Where he starts he comes across another killer,
he's gonna
and then
see
he goes
something.
And kills
he's going to see someone try to fucking like kidnap somebody, and he's got to do something about it because he's Dexter. He can't not. It's his code, and he's got to get involved somehow. And then he's like, "Fuck, all right."
And then he goes through this rabbit hole of freaking
back into his old ways,
exactly.
And then it's just one season of just him killing every episode.
Plot twist towards the end, he finds out that she was the one killing a lot of these people,
and she was framing them, and like. Ooh. And then he's got to, and
then he's got to kill her.
And the last two or three episodes is like a cat and mouse thing where they're chasing each other around, and she's trying to hide her tracks, and he's trying to catch up to the killer, and he doesn't know it's her, but she knows he's after him, and then he catches up to her on the last episode, and now he's got a dilemma: does he kill the woman he loves, the mother of his child, or does he give up on his ways? And if we were right, I'm going to be super fucking pissed off that we spoiled the whole season.
Oh, yeah. And not just that, but what if his son is older now and actually is...
And his son's doing it.
And his son took after his ways.
And his son is the killer. And then he finds out, now he's like, do I kill my son or do I teach him how to not get caught?
Yo, if anybody does Dexter and you guys work on that show, hit us up.
Like, well, they're listening.
Really
right?
good price.
We got like... Right?
Maybe we should tag Dexter or something.
We should
tag the
Dexter. Listen to the last like
production
quarter,
company. And
listen
everything.
To the last quarter of this episode. Showtime.
You know we strayed really far from the fucking.
Oh, we are. I mean, we're
no,
still
we're
no,
still
no,
on
Dexter's,
psychopaths.
We're
Dexter's
somewhat
psychopath.
On track, but we're not.
Dexter's kind of a psychopath. Yeah. I mean, no, he is a psychopath, but
psychopath or sociopath.
This is a perfect straight up way to branch off.
Okay.
This is this is related to the tree.
Okay.
This is
So we're branching off right now. How about music?
ICP.
Slow, quiet piano music.
So ICP, you would say, is
music.
Psychopathic.
Ah, okay.
Psychopathic okay. records.
So,
whoop.
I'm going to bring this up again because music
but
is...
But before we do...
Go ahead.
Because my study of psychology and psychopathy and all that shit stemmed from a friend of mine. I just want to say shout out to my friend Holly for, like, making me interested in psychology and then, like, being like, yo...
Holly always knew you were a psychopath.
She's got a lot of empathy. She's not a psychopath.
Shout out to Holly.
Too much.
Whoop whoop.
Anyway, yeah. So, told you I'd give you a shout out on this episode. Yeah, I was talking to her earlier, and she was like, "You better fucking." So, did not segue it at all. That was hard. Like, wait, shout out because I almost forgot. I know we're near the end of the episode. I almost forgot.
Okay, so music, which reminded me, I've brought this up before. There's a game called Layers of Fear. And it kind of portrays the spiral into insanity through this guy who lives in this old Victorian house, and he's a painter, and he's trying to finish his magnum opus, which is like his, you know, prized final piece.
We know what a magnum opus is.
So, right. Well, anybody who doesn't, that's why I'm stating that. But anyways, he starts spiraling into insanity, and he's kind of a psychopath, and there's a lot of those traits there because his wife passed away. I guess the house caught on fire or something. And his dog got burned alive, and his wife got burned alive or whatever. And he thinks that she's still alive somehow, and he's pretty much insane now. And he's trying to paint this photo, but he keeps fucking it up. And the whole game, you're running around this house as you spiral into insanity, and it turns into this, like, psychedelic nightmare. And
sounds like a very fun game.
He was also a piano player, so there's pianos in there, and it's all that dark, gloomy piano music that leads through the whole game. And I just, we obviously played that clip for the intro to Zombie Killer, and music like that. That was a sociopath royalty, or no, it was a psychopath, I think, royalty free, but we played a psychopath one that wasn't royalty free. And then we also played a sociopath one, and those were both on the break. And they're all very slow, almost sad piano music, where it's something you just sit there in the quiet in the depths of your house working on something, listening to this music or playing this on piano.
Right.
So that's my definition of psychopath music. I don't know. You said freaking what?
I was just being smart. Psychopathic Records, ICP.
There you go. I mean,
that's just horrorcore. That was just a joke. I don't think you can define psychopath music because psychopath is not a music genre. Music doesn't have empathy. I mean, it can make you feel something, but music doesn't have empathy. Music isn't trying to fuck somebody. Music makes you feel something. Music doesn't feel.
Right.
So you can't have psychopathic music. My answer was just a smart-ass answer.
Okay.
Well, then you have Tech N9ne.
Again, not psychopathic.
Am I a psycho?
Yeah, no, he just used the Juggalo world to blow up, but that's on another episode.
All right.
I like his music, but fuck him. Long story.
All right,
fair enough. We're getting near the end of the show.
I think it's a good time to start wrapping this up like a condom.
Let's start wrapping it up. Let's do the
takeaway. Wrap it up like a psycho in a freaking straitjacket.
I think the takeaway from this show, or this episode, I'm sorry, for me at least, is psychopaths, they look just like everyone else. And it's like you brought it up, you know. Yeah. you could have passed a few psychopaths today, you wouldn't have known it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary.
Yes and no.
I don't think it's scary.
It depends.
Okay. It's scary because of the misconception.
Yes, the misconception. I think the misconception is what's scary.
Right. See, that's more or less what it is.
Yeah. If there was somebody that was a psychopath that had some crazy tendencies with some serious potential to do some harm or bad, and they're in your life and have been for a long time or constantly around you, I think that's when you find out or something. That's when that could be sort of scary.
Whereas, be an iffy situation. Unless you can,
somebody walking down the street, it's like you're not going to probably have any altercation or anything.
Unless you can help that person direct their tendencies to something that might be more useful.
But I think it also has to do with
them to another person that they're going to take it out on. Wait, does that make me a psycho?
Wow. For me, it has a lot to do with Hollywood. Hollywood has demonized the psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people have this misconception of what a psychopath is. So I'm glad you were able to clear some of it up in this episode.
Yeah. And again, I'll say it would do everyone it's an interesting read, an interesting listen. If you get the audiobook, check out The Wisdom of Psychopaths.
We'll definitely be posting that link to the clip.
I'll send it to you.
And
so with psychopaths,
I don't know. I can't hear you.
The sound of psychopaths.
Fuck, dude.
It's almost like an S, right?
No.
Psycho. Obviously, the P is silent.
The PH makes us
PH. Yeah, but PH, what else?
It's PS.
Fuck you, I'm dyslexic.
what else is like that? That's success. Success and psychopath.
Success doesn't start with a P.
No, but it starts with a S. What's that called? Fucking
What the fuck are you getting at?
I'm getting at a lot of the psychopaths are successful because of their psychopathic tendencies.
Okay, yeah, cool.
So
you executed that perfectly.
I totally did, and I'm glad that everybody thought that. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Well, on that note,
we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
We got to plug our social media.
If you listened all the way through, yeah, I was about to do that. I was going to say, if you listened all the way through, you probably already follow us. So thanks for that. But if you don't and you listened all the way through, fucking rad. You're super cool. Thank you. You can follow us on Instagram at Matt's Not Here Podcast.
And you can follow us on Facebook at Matt's Not Here.
You can join the cult of MNH. There's two questions. The first one is, what does MNH stand for? And we just fucking said it twice, so.
Yeah, that's also on Facebook.
And the second question is, there's no right answer, or wrong answer, or left answer, or right answer, or top answer, or bottom answer.
Just no, I will be silently judging you.
And also, please push us to put more stuff on Patreon us some money to view our shit.
for anyone listening who is in the cult, feel free to drop topic suggestions. We are going to be reaching out to you guys for topic ideas because we want to know what you guys want us to talk about.
Exactly.
And we want to talk about what you guys want us to talk about.
Yeah. Not only topics, but also segment ideas. So, for example, do you want us to do more shitty advice of the week? Do you want us to bring back stoner moments? Do you want, some more skits? Or do you have any good topics for, episode ideas? Just shoot us
Let us know.
Yeah, we want you guys to influence.
Hit us up on Messenger.
Yeah.
Hit us up in the group chat. Drop us fucking audio clips and Anchor.
Oh yeah, you can go to if you click the link in our Instagram, you can go drop us a voice message on what's it called?
Anchor.
Anchor, thank you. I almost said Audible.
You might be able to hear your beautiful voice on this
podcast. That sponsor we have.
The
one that pays us.
On Anchor, and you can hear your voice on our podcast.
Yeah. And who doesn't want that?
Wait, we've been getting paid this whole time?
No.
And with that, we say goodbye.
Bye,
guys. Me, Lewis,
and me, Brett.
And where's my cut?
Of what?
I'm not here.
Why?
Yeah. Did you tell him that we were getting paid?
Dude, I thought you were going to tell him.
No.
Jesus, I wasn't going to tell him. It's Matt's not here. He's not getting any of the money.
No, of course.
No, you and me are split 50-50, right?
Of course.
All but right. What about
the deal from the beginning?
Yeah, no, cool.
What was that money I saw you guys give Bill?
No, there is no money.
What money?
What money are you talking about? Bill lost a poker game, so I was paying him back.
Yeah. No, I don't know what money you're talking about. There's no money here.
You know what?